introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that's pretty broad, things that we should know. A lot of things I believe that Christians are kind of left in the dark on. I don't know whether that's purposeful, whether it's intentional, or just by happenstance, but I'm of the personal opinion that Christians need to be informed of what's happening. And I'll use this as an illustration in my own personal life. Dr. W.A. Criswell, which is now with the Lord, pastored First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas for about 52 years. Just a short while after his retirement, he was interviewed, and one of the things that he said in his interview was kind of breathtaking to me. He talked about the fact that many have the opinion that pastors need to simply know the Bible, study the Bible, and talk about Jesus only, nothing else. Dr. W. Criswell said, his words, I quote, he said, I make it a point to read 12 to 15 different magazines a month and several books a month other than the Bible and commentaries. He said, I want to be in a position that I can communicate at any level with anybody at any time on any subject about global events and what is taking place and how it correlates with the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to mimic or trying to copy what he did, but I believe it is edifying for the body of Christ to simply know what is happening and what is taking place and to be ready to stand up for truth and to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. I'm looking at headline. Said the battle for America. Eric Metaxas says the church is losing. Now, a little parenthetical footnote. I don't agree with all that Eric Metaxas says in some of his writings. I'm not trying to openly tear him down. But if he'd stay out of theology, and he'll get into making a point and use the book of Revelation, which is a eschatological future tense text, he'll use that to illustrate what's happening today. In many of his writings and what he says. But I happen to agree with this particular statement. Let me read it to you. Headline again, The Battle for America. Eric Metaxas says, The Church is Losing. He subtopic heading on this. This isn't about race or fear. It's about preserving the only country in history built on liberty through faith. If you care about America, you need to hear this conversation. It had a conversation that was a video with another individual where Metaxas exposes the cultural suicide we're sleepwalking into. Mass immigration without assimilation. Churches gone soft and a nation losing its soul because Christians are too scared to speak the truth. This isn't about race or fear. It's about preserving the only country in history built on liberty through faith. If you don't wake up and fight back boldly, unapologetically, and with real conviction, we will lose everything that makes America worth saving, end quote. Now, I couldn't have said it better and more succinctly than was stated in that. And if you've been listening to this broadcast any length of time, you know that I've said that preachers need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, grow a spine, and not be afraid of what the world may say, and talk about issues that are important. Let me remind you, lest you've not heard this broadcast before. God created three institutions. God created the home, God created civil government, and God created the church, and in that order. Civil government, we call politics today. God created, in fact, you look at Genesis chapter 9, and the first thing in the creation of civil government, God gave civil government the authority to use the death penalty if life is taken, life is required. In Romans 13th chapter, the first 7 verses, it talks about the purpose of civil government that God gave us. And that purpose is to punish evil and to protect good. We've reversed that in the current modern thinking today through the civil government. But as a result of the IRS ruling of 1954, Lyndon Baines Johnson, then Senator Johnson, had a rider to a transportation bill that gave the authority to the IRS to prosecute, to persecute, and to punish Christians and pastors if they spoke from the pulpit about political issues, as it was called then. And that was by executive order in Trump's first administration, March of 2017. That was by executive order. That was canceled. But even before that was canceled, there's never been a church prosecuted, persecuted, fined, or put in jail as a result of speaking about what would be called biblical issues, i.e., civil government from the pulpit. I believe it's time that we stand up and speak up as we're seeing a total constitutional crisis in America today. One writer says, I'll take this, read this very briefly and take our next caller. Says, top U.S. Senator says that anti-Trump judge would rather be serving as president. A top Republican senator says the federal district judge who has opposed President Donald J. Trump's deportation flights of violence, violent criminals, illegal aliens, apparently want the president instead of his current position on the bench. Quote, it can't be like getting an act of Congress every time you want to export dangerous felons and violent criminals, illegal immigrants. Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said on Sunday Morning Futures on Fox News. And yet, you've got people like Judge James Busberg, who apparently wishes they had gone into politics and would rather be serving as president of the United States than a federal district judge, who are essentially becoming chief executive officers of the United States government. The minute you start to have judicial officers performing the task that belongs fundamentally to the executive or legislative branch, you've got real problems. Senator Lee said, we've been flooded with millions, some would say tens of millions, of illegal immigrants. The senator also expressed support of the Trump's efforts to change the way birthright citizenship is handled in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got judges today that's ruling America. A single judge in a single court in a single district that's making the decision on the destiny and the direction of the United States of America. Now, I don't know if you are grasping the truth and the weight of that or not, but that's where we are today. I believe Lisa's on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. It's good to be with you again. It's been a while. I totally agree with everything that you are saying. We are in a constitutional crisis, and it is because we have gone silent as a church. And I think one way to get all of this set correctly is to, every time that somebody targets President Donald J. Trump, we insert the United States of America, because it's easier for them to target the one man. But that one man represents the millions and millions and millions of us that voted for him on November 5th. So who they're really going up against is the United States of American citizens. And that's a much bigger target for them. So I'm just encouraging everybody to change the verbiage, because that has been their key winning strategy. They change the verbiage, they twist words, and they confuse the people that are not in the know. So if we will get very, very good at stating the facts, making the target bigger for them, which is the whole United States of America, not Donald J. Trump, who represents us, I think we would really see things turn around.
Lisa, that is well stated, and I think the first time I've heard it stated in that fashion, but it makes all the sense in the world, and it is I would simply call it a brilliant idea of making that statement and using that term and retorting anybody that wants to say anything about Donald Trump and or challenging him. So thank you so much for that input. That is a very well-placed statement, and I believe it should grasp our attention and recognize. Because, listen, the Democrats are talking about how our democracy is at risk. Well, first of all, the Democrats are foolish enough to think it's democracy, and it's devolving into that because of democracy simply meaning mob rule. We're a constitutional republic. It's devolving Amen. Into a democracy because of what the Democrats are doing. It's lawfare. And you're exactly Amen. Right. It's not just a battle against a man. It's a battle against a nation where we Amen. Have the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party that wants to undermine, tear down, and destroy our system that God has given us called the United States of America. Lisa, thank Amen. You so much for your call.
And God Dr. bless Youngblood, you. I yes. just put up my sign again for President Trump and Vance. I put it up back in my yard, and I encourage everybody else that voted for him on November 5th, put those signs back up. They are cowards hiding behind robes. And
well,
when they
say,
see...
I would say put the sign up and right next to it a picture of a Tesla. That would
Amen.
Be...
Thank you,
Lisa,
Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your call. I believe I have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I have no words to say the way that the Democrats are behaving lately. Are they insane? They lost it? Or they don't have any common sense? Because you got this clown going to El Salvador trying to smuggle a criminal back mm-hmm. to the U.S., and have you seen any politician going to Russia? Remember they had those Marines captured in Russia? Have you seen any of those Democrats flying there and demanding for that Marine to be released and to be sent back to the U.S.? I mean, this is so sickening to see this clown going there and making that show. Good thing for that Bukele's president that he didn't play around and he denied the entrance to the prison. I love that. And, I mean, it's just so upsetting to see these clowns looking out for the criminal that has been proven by two liberal judges back in 2019. He has his due process twice. He was found guilty. He was ordered to be removed and deported from this country. So now that this administration is enforcing the rule of law, the Democrats are whining and crying for a lawbreaker, criminal, illegal. I mean, this is insanity. But you know what, brother? Let it keep doing what they're doing. In the midterms, I'm pretty sure.
You're exactly right.
Let that ghetto politician from Texas running her mouth, asking for the killing of the Tesla owner. Let it run in their mouth. I want to see the midterms. But it's insanity. I mean, you wonder where these people got those ideas from. I'm pretty sure it's from Harvard and Yale and all those big universities that Donald Trump is cutting the money. Billions of dollars.
Jose,
why?
Jose, here's what I picture with it, if I can jump in and say this and then let you continue. Uh-huh. I like to play checkers. I've never been a chess player, but I like to play checkers. And it's not an unusual thing when you get into a real tight checker game that all of a sudden the opponent will want to just flip the board over, sees he's going to lose, and all of a sudden just flips the board over. That's what I picture with the Democrats. They see they're fighting a lost cause. They're seeing that they have lost the populist vote and support, and therefore they're willing to turn the checkerboard over to destroy the game because they're losing. And that's what we see today. We see the fight, the battle, because right now, and I just read the article just a few minutes ago, where every week 75 of the Socialist Marxist Communist Democrats meet, and they have planning sessions on how to file suits, what suits to file, and how to stop Trump with what he's doing. That is a battle, as our previous caller said, not a battle against a man, but a battle against the nation to undermine and tear down and destroy our nation. I can't fathom it, as you said a moment ago, where you have a senator, and now we've got others that are going on, planning on a trip, using taxpayer dollars, and I think they said the jet cost something like $17,000 an hour for the flight time and the fuel, et cetera, et cetera. But taxpayers paying for their trips there, and as one writer said, when Van Hollen got there, sat down and had a margarita with the one that they'd taken out to let him sit and have a conference with, because he was so vitally interested in that individual. But just as you said, here's an individual that had been caught, tried, convicted. Two different courts found him guilty, said that he was part of MS-13. And now we have all of the Democrats that are crying the blues, saying that we need to somehow salvage that man. And just as you said so eloquently and correctly, we've had those Russian prisoners. You haven't seen any senator want to fly over there and demand that they be released. It's a, if you please, a two-facedness. It is a double standard, because they're wanting to tear down and destroy the warp and the woof, the very foundation and fabric of the United States of America. So, Jose, one of the questions, and I think that I know where you're going, but one of the questions, how should Christians respond to what we see happening? Should we simply fold up, sit down, say nothing, or should we as Christians stand up, speak up, be verbal, visible, and valiant in what we say and do?
No, we need to stand up for what's truth. And there's so many lies out there, some people being misled, that all you gotta do is use common sense and let them know, hey, that thing, that temporary thing that they are demanding now, I told, you know, some of my relatives, hey, listen, if you have somebody out of the goodness of your heart, and within 2 or 3 months you say, hey, enough is enough, you know, you guys gotta move on, they can't assume me to tell me, no, I wanna stay here permanently. This is what these people is doing. This is something out of the great, you know, the great, you know, the gracious heart of the American people to house them for the time. TPS is temporary. Now they are suing because they demand, wait a minute, that's being ungrateful. But as Christians, we need to bring those kind of examples and let it know, you know what I mean? Hey, this is what it is, and we need to obey the rule of law. This is not force. This is not demanded. No, this is something temporary, and the free ride ended. That's it. Now, they don't want to end it. That's the issue. But I hope Trump stay to course and stay to what the law says. And I'm pretty sure millions of people is going to vote it back again. He's going to back him up on the midterms. The same thing with the Republicans. I hope they don't drop the ball. But anyway, brother, there's so many things going on that we need to keep on praying and keep the head up, because Jesus is coming. God bless you, brother. Thank you very much.
God bless you. You're on target exactly with your statement, Sir Jose. Thank you so much for your calling. As I say so often, we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, according to Luke 21:28. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today things that we need to know. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that what is taking place in relationship to Tulsi Gabbard and her position as the head of the National Institute? Let me read the article. Tulsi Gabbard, we have evidence that electronic voting machines can be hacked. Electronic voting machines, basically computers programmed to tabulate the vote data, that is the input, have been found around for a long time, probably about as long as we've had hacking of computers. And at issue that has been concerned for the same period of time. Observers, even election experts, often have made claims that the defense built into the machines, and sometimes have been used by voting machine corporations to expressly having caused us to doubt. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, President Donald J. Trump's Director of National Intelligence, has confirmed in a bombshell announcement that there is, in fact, evidence that electronic voting machines have been tampered with to manipulate election outcomes in the United States of America, end quote. Further, the article reads, we have evidence of how these electronic voting machines have been vulnerable to hackers for a long, long time. And vulnerable to exploitation to manipulate the results of the votes being cast, which further drives forward your mandate to bring about paper ballots across the country so that voters can have faith in the integrity of our elections. One of the president's executive orders concerns electronic elections managers being required to use paper ballots and not to allow to rely on solely an electronic machine. Her statement confirmed what many conservatives have long suspected, that the very foundations of America's electoral system have been compromised, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, did you realize that because some in the Trump orbit stated clearly, definitively, and dogmatically that the 2020 election had been stolen, that the Dominion voting machines had been tampered with, that votes had been overridden or changed in the electronic system. Some of those were prosecuted and did a settlement of going to jail and paying a fine rather than going through the cost that they couldn't afford of millions of dollars to protect themselves, simply because they were telling the truth, that the election was fraudulent, the election was stolen. Even because Fox News took the stand with some of those that they'd interviewed that the election was stolen, that the machines had been tampered with, Dominion filed suit against Fox. Fox, after about a year, 18 months of going through some of the rudimentary process of the legal battle, settled the suit for $780 million. And now to find, according to Tulsi Gabbard, that the machines, in fact, can be hacked. Her statement confirmed what many conservatives have long suspected, that the very foundations of America's electoral system have been compromised. And he goes on to talk about how that was done. Had a group of people that met in Las Vegas, major super, super, super hackers of computer systems, with the sole goal to check and find out, to test and see if these machines could be hacked. And after a long testing, a variety of those carrying out the test, variety of the different voting machines, they said, in fact, yes, we can hack into and change the votes in these machines. What will come of it? Will we have any apologies from the left, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, for the prosecution, for the entrapment, the persecution, and the confinement of those that had said something about that back in 2020 and after? Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that we have a new sheriff in town. I'm thankful that we're seeing some dramatic changes that I think needs to be made and should have been made a long time ago. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that as Christians, we need to rejoice in the realization of the recognition that God has placed President Trump in a position to be able to be the backbone, the spine of America, to do what God, I believe, has called him to do. Listen, I don't know if you paid attention to it or not, with President Trump's Easter message versus what Biden had said. Let me just refresh your memory. Trump's Easter message 2025, this is brief. This Holy Week, Melania and I join in prayer with Christians celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living Son of God who conquered death, freed us from sin, and unlocked the gates of heaven for all of humanity. That was Trump's summarization of Trump's statement for Easter. Here's what Biden said in his message of 2024. Transgender Day visibility. We honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgenders across America and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that? That is very, very pertinent and important. I believe if we see leadership in a nation turning against God, referring to immoral, ungodly, unholy things more so than what God would approve of. I'm looking at Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts. That means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation. But sin is a reproach. That means a dishonor, a shame, a disgrace, an insult to any people. And that's what we've been witnessing through the past several years with the Biden administration. I'm thankful to see President Trump placed there, and I believe God placed him there. You've heard me say many, many times before on this broadcast, I believe it was God's divine intervention that placed Donald J. Trump in office in 12 for the 45th president, now again for the 47th president. I believe God has given us an opportunity for a four-year reprieve to see if we will turn back to God. I'm looking at the headline, Trump sends Easter message, Easter wishes, then blisters, judges, and liberal lunatics blocking his agenda. He goes on to say the statement that I just read a moment ago, but as soon as he finishes that, he says, also happy Easter to all, including the radical left lunatics who are fighting and scheming so hard to bring murderers, drug lords, dangerous prisoners, the mentally insane, and the well-known MS-13 gang members and wife beaters back to our country. Trump wrote in Truth Social Post targeted Democrats and the federal judges that helped get that he helped to get on the bench. Happy Easter also to the weak and ineffective judges, law enforcement officials, who are allowing the sinister attacks on our nation to continue, an attack so violent that it will never be forgotten, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that God is still in control, that God is still on the throne, and that we need to recognize and honor him because of who he is. Listen, let me close the broadcast today with something that I think is interesting. Pastor Greg Laurie uses a snafu at the White House to spread the gospel. The bottom line is, without time to read the article, he is waiting outside to get in. He's been called there to open the meeting at the White House in prayer. That's the Easter meeting. Franklin Graham brought the message, and he was not allowed in because his name was not found on the list of the security. And he used that as an illustration that if we standing at the gates want to get into heaven, if the name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we'll not get in. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is today, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? If you get to heaven's gate, will you be allowed in, or will your name not be found on the list whatsoever? I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you've heard the broadcast today, that you have learned and you've been illuminated, educated, and encouraged to keep on standing up for truth, standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look at.